I'm Drea.
I'm Meg.
I'm Tina.
And I'm Jess. And this is Pardon My Stash. Welcome to Pardon My Stash, a podcast about knitting, the fiber arts, and how awesome it is. Before we get into this week's topic, let's share what we're working on now, Meg.
What I'm working on at this moment in time is a Franken sweater. I started this sweater a couple of times. I'm using our the Critical Hit Dyes Wheel of the Year, some of the colors. I wanted to do a faded sweater, but I couldn't decide. I couldn't find a pattern that had all of the features that I wanted. So I'm actually using three different patterns, one for the numbers of the actual construction of the chest and the body, one for the sleeves, and one for the fade. So it doesn't have a pattern, but it's pretty mindless. I'm enjoying it.
No patterns in all patterns.
I mean, no patterns in all patterns. I don't have a pattern I can like name, but I'm just taking from a bunch. I did finish my Random Act of Kindness shawl that was made with the,
Oh, thank you. That's like two whole projects in like a month.
I paused for a second because I thought I was going to accidentally hit the
womp womp.
No, that one actually went well. That the womp womp should be for all of my lack of progress for the first 6 months of the year, but apparently June was the month. Yeah. But I knitted it out of Tosh DK from Jimmy Bean's Wool in the colorway Bird is the Word. And I was right about the Tosh DK. When I blocked it, it exploded.
Yeah, it got big.
It got about twice the size, which for a shawl is awesome. Like, it went from like a cute little neck accessory to I can literally wrap myself in this thing. Nice. And who doesn't love a bigger shawl?
And it's cozy.
I think it's going to be like a nice workhorse shawl for the fall. My only like cautionary tale, I guess. The yarn is great. It blooms like you wouldn't believe. It is super soft. But if you are going to make a garment out of it, I cannot stress this enough. You need to swatch.
You need to block swatch. Like,
yeah,
just
block swatch. And you need to like, or if you want to live dangerously, you're probably going to want to go down like two sizes because it did. It blooms. Awesome. If you love, like you want to do something bigger, like that shawl grew two sizes with me doing literally nothing but blocking it. But that's not the kind of surprise you want if you're making a sweater. So just a cautionary tale.
That would warrant the...
Exactly. But the yarn is great. I love the yarn. So,
Drea?
I am working on the French Can-Can shawl by Mademoiselle C. I've actually done the entire body.
Hey. Which is really exciting.
It is, because I don't think that I've talked about it on the podcast yet.
I don't think
I've posted any photos yet, except for the skeined yarn. The body knit up really fast, and I'm really enjoying the knit. The border's going to take forever,
as they do,
but it's cables, so I really enjoy it.
That's good.
The border goes faster than you think it's gonna go, trust me. Once you get into it, it's like you have to do at least like one section and then you're good.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It looks really nice, though.
It does. That, I really like these colors together.
Well, it's that, and also like the yarn is giving really plump cables, yes. Which is always nice.
The cables are
very
stellar.
Plump.
I love that.
Mm.
I am using Madeline Tosh DK in Home Means Nevada, and I'm also using Madeline Tosh Vintage in Rye Bourbon for the border. And yeah, I recommend this pattern already.
I also recommend that pattern.
It's a good pattern.
I've made it before. It's good.
Oh, right. You did.
I made it for my cousin Melissa. Yeah.
Yeah. Goes by fast. Looks good. These two colorways together are
nice.
Beautiful.
It's one of those ones where it's it looks a lot fancier than it is.
Say when it's done, we can like display it next to the jellyfish and be like, two things you can do with this yarn.
It's true. It is two things that you can do with the yarn. I saw your jellyfish. It's amazing.
Thank you. Tina.
Well, I went and picked the easiest thing that I could not think while I'm knitting. So I'm working on my high-vis beanie, which is not out yet. It's going to be a compliment to my high-vis cowl. It's done in a similar way, and it looks like brioche, but it's not brioche. That way to keep it thin. I think I mentioned this, but I actually brought it with me, but I finished my seed dot in the Tosh, Madeline Tosh ASAP. You could take it. Go ahead.
It's really squishy.
It's very squishy.
Is this the slouch version?
This is the slouch size 6, so it's the large adult because I have a massive head.
It's really, really soft and squishy.
Drea, don't put that on. It's going to be massive on you. You have a much smaller head than me.
I know.
Hence why she's going to put it on.
Oh, Lord.
Amazing.
But the nice thing is it's a slouch, so it doesn't matter. Like, as long as
it actually has a really nice slouch. I like it.
As long as it doesn't, like, the brim isn't too big.
Yeah.
It's fine.
The brim is actually pretty snug.
Well, it's the one thing I do like about the brim with this yarn, in particular the ASAP yarn, is that it's very squishy to the point that it's stretchy. So I could make a smaller brim and then let it kind of stretch out a bit, mm-hmm. and it fits kind of a lot of different sizes. But
did it block big?
I did not block it.
Oh, it's not blocked.
Oh, this is going to get even
worse. I am extremely afraid to block that.
You should be.
I don't want to block it.
Yeah.
Do you want to touch it?
I have not blocked hats before for that same reason.
And to be honest, fair.
I don't think it needs a block.
I don't need to block it.
No.
Like, not everything needs a block.
That's true.
It's already in shape.
Yeah.
It already has its what it needs. I'm good.
When we did the, what's it called?
I don't know.
Thank you.
Oh, the cocoa bean.
Yeah. See, you knew.
I did.
You're just being difficult.
I needed a second.
Okay.
I thought I stroke you.
That was... That was the one that I remember you guys finished it and you're like, oh, this block's big. And I'm like, well, I'm not blocking this hat. Like, that's not happening.
See, mine came out okay, though, because I knit so tight.
You do knit tight. That's fair. And I don't.
Mine I have to put in the dryer every month or so when I'm wearing it.
Oh, my God. Seriously?
It just stretches.
Oh, my
time.
God.
But I blocked mine and I knit loose like you do.
Yeah.
So it's a curse, I tell you. The seed dot beanie is active, the upgraded version that has, it's made for DK to super bulky, and it also has extended sizing from essentially newborn to large adult. And it's actively being tested right now. And I actually...
That's exciting.
Yeah. Some people have finished. So my testing, just for future reference, is extremely casual. I don't give deadlines. I don't make you do anything other than fill out a feedback form at the end of your knit so that I have the information I need to make adjustments as necessary. You can skip the photos, you can skip the social, you can basically everything else is optional. So because I don't want to do all that, so I'm not going to make other people do that. There are still some openings. And you finish it basically when you finish it. Right now we have a casual, very loose date of August 31st, but I'd probably extend it if some of the sizes aren't tested yet. Since there's so many weights and so many sizes, I just literally can't knit them all. So, so I'm here. Hooray.
Jess?
I am in the final stages of the I Am Dragon remix by Alexandra Davidoff. And I'm kind of playing yarn chicken because I'm using the Critical Hit Dyes Rainbow Blast, which is a rainbow gradient. And when I got to the end of the pattern, I was just getting into yellow. And I wanted to finish the rainbow. So I added a whole other scale repeat so I could get to the red. And now I'm in the red and I'm doing the garter stitch.
So you're in the red and you're probably
and
in
I'm
the
in
red.
The red.
In every sense of the word.
In all senses of the word. And I have about, I think, 7 more rows of this garter stitch to go. And I don't know if I'm going to make it, which
It's not that dire. You can literally just make another skein.
I could make a mini skein of the red to finish it off. But even if I don't, it actually came really close. So this was fun. I really like it. It's super cute and rainbowy. And
you know how y'all were like, when I brought up a few episodes ago, that you just whack a bird on something and I buy it? You guys were like laughing because it is funny. True. You whack a dragon on something.
Yeah.
And Jess is going to make it.
It's got dragon scales. And I did the, so my Morgana shawl is actually, I am dragon, like the.
Two.
That's right. Yeah. Because the original one was a bit thicker. And this is very similar. It has, the I am dragon 2 had one bead per scale, and this one has three. And she did the construction a little bit different. So it's like, it's not super different, but I feel like on the backside looks a little cleaner now, which doesn't really matter to anyone but me because I'm the only one really looking at it, but it matters. So I really like it. And I like the extra beads, which I also had to add more of because I realized when I wanted to add in a whole other repeat, I needed to add two whole repeats of scales. So I did have to kind of cut it and string on some more beads and then redo it. So that was an adventure too, but we're here. We're doing it. We're playing the yarn chicken. That's not too dire of a yarn chicken, but I'm pretending it is. And
why?
It's the added stress.
Most of us look at yarn chicken and we're like, no. This is not, I don't want to even look at this. I'm kind of doing that with these
because
and it's giving me anxiety just looking at them.
If I'm determined enough, this will stretch.
Also, stress helps people with ADHD.
Yeah,
things.
It's like it's fair. And then once I'm done with this, I do have to do the ribbing rows of my vest because that's all that's left.
You're
and I
so
have to do
close,
it.
Like just do it.
I know. Well, it's the ribbing on the hem, and then I have to pick up the collar, which is also ribbing, and I'm like, oh.
You're literally that meme of, like, I fixed a problem that I've been putting off for 6 months and 3 minutes, and I will learn nothing from this.
Yeah, no, I know. And then after that, I got a Lord of the Ring book of patterns, so I'm going to go through that and find something else to do. So those are my adventures. That's where I'm at. And if people want to see pictures of these projects or get more information about Pardon My Stash, be sure to check out our website, pardonmystash.com, for info, pics, patterns, and yarns. And you can also find some of the yarns, especially the Madeline Toshes that we were talking about in this episode, at jimmybeanswool.com. To get everyone a little bit more involved if they wanted to, and we know that not everybody is as active on social media platforms, and I know we do post a lot of stuff on our Instagram, but for those that aren't as active into the social media site, we did add a Q&A section into our webpage in the Get Involved page. So you can go in there, fill out the form there. If you have any questions or anything you wanted us to talk about, you can go to our Get Involved page, go to our Q&A section, and then you can write in your own questions that you would like to be answered, and we will try and go through them and, you know, get to them as we can, and try and cover some things or recover some things we might have mentioned briefly but people might want more answers to. So we thought that would be a fun way to get more out of our community, because you guys often have a lot of cool questions and fun questions, and we like to look into it. And some of them are things we haven't thought about, and it gets us thinking about them. One of the questions that we actually got before we started our Q&A, so this one came just through our general contact, was from Bella L. They were wondering if we were ever going to talk about sweater and cardigan constructions. And I feel like that was something we may have touched very briefly on in the past, but it was something that got us all thinking about, you know, what we actually do look at when we're looking at our constructions or on our pattern choosings. And I feel like most of us generally just choose a pattern that we like and haven't actually, as far as sweaters and cardigans go, I don't think any of us have actually written a pattern. I think the closest right now is you, Meg, who is taking a bunch of patterns and creating your own.
Oh, you mean for a sweater?
For a sweater, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, this is not rocket science, though.
No,
like,
but
it's not.
But yeah, so like looking at it, we were all sort of like, okay, we don't have like a designer's eye for it because none of us have done it yet. But I feel like all of us do have things that we look for when we're looking for patterns or preferred sort of construction aspects that we lean more towards or avoid in general. For instance, I know it's all the ones that I have done thus far are seamless. I've done seamless sweaters. And mainly because I know that sewing seams is not my forte. I can't do them so they look nice usually. So the seamless ones are the way I go. So that's the usual. But there is one, it's a seam sweater and I can't remember the name of it. And a lot of people were doing it last year and it looked really cool. And so if I were ever to do a seamed one, it'd be that one. And I wish I could tell you what it was, but I don't remember the name. I'll have to find it.
Wow.
It was like, I don't know.
If you find it, I'll put it on the blog.
Okay. I've also only done top down.
I think the real like advantage to seamless is that first off, it's generally it's all in one piece.
You don't have to worry about losing pieces.
Right. Well, not even that, but that really kind of promotes the uniformity of it. It's kind of hard to get like a lopsided shoulder when you're knitting it seamlessly in the round.
That's fair.
It is easier to make mistakes, I guess, or make things non-conforming when you're doing two of a kind. I remember reading this like, God, I don't even remember, like, I think like 2005 or something on the Yarn Harlots blog where she was making a baby sweater in parts. And she did one side with one needle size and picked up whole other side in a different needle size. And doing that in pieces, okay, that's extreme, but seamless, you really don't need to worry about that as much because you're knitting it all at once. And there is also, if you are knitting top down, you can try it on as you go and that see, is it fair. Long enough? Does it fit in the bust? Is it time to start the sleeves? Like,
invest in one of them loopy things if you're going to do that, though.
The barber cables. Those are great. But you really can't do that when you're doing it in pieces.
I have done exactly one sweater. It was a cardigan. It was a seamless cardigan. So it was all, the body was all one piece. And it was top down. And I liked that it was top down. I liked that I could gauge where I was going to put the sleeves. And I liked that it was all in one piece as I was making it. But I don't think that I would do another seamless sweater or cardigan with that many cables again.
It was beautiful, but that was a lot of cables.
It was beautiful and it was a lot of cables. And it wasn't that I didn't enjoy doing the cables, but when I was done, the sweater was just so heavy.
Yeah, I bet.
It lost all of its shape.
Yeah.
So I think that the addition of seams would give it a little bit more structure.
Mm.
So I think that's something that I would try for my next sweater.
Yeah. Seamless is great for like color work or a like single color
or a pullover.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, even a cardigan that is like if you're going to steek, that's fine. But yeah, you make a really good point that if you're going to do something that's going to be like a lot of cables and really heavy, you want that extra reinforcement in the seams.
Yeah.
It's a good point.
I remember I made it so that it would end at about my knee. And I loved that. That's where I wanted it. But after I started wearing it, it was like on the floor.
Oh my God.
And I ended up, I did end up taking it back.
That's right. Didn't you like it? And
yep. I frogged off like the bottom third.
Oh my God, which is so much.
I know.
That's so much work. God.
I know. And I frogged it so that it would come just to like at my bum. Mm. So that when I wore it and it
stretches.
And it stretched, yeah, it would cover my bum, which is what I wanted at the very least. Like that's my baseline requirement. I never actually reblocked it when I was done. And I didn't actually weave in my ends again. So it's technically back in my unfinished pile.
The way you said
return
that,
to the
I
whip.
Thought that yeah. this was going to be a lot more ominous.
No.
Like, the ending was going to be a lot worse. I was, like, waiting for the catastrophe.
Nope.
The way you were leading into it, I'm like, oh, no, oh, no,
just,
oh, no.
Just what sad happens? That it's never being worn.
It will. When the time is right. When the time is right.
Yeah.
You finish it.
I think I would want to make a different sweater and make it more to what I actually want.
Right. Well, you know what, though? It was, like, it was a good...
It was a good
it
first
taught
sweater.
You what yeah. you like.
Yes.
And well, what you don't like.
More that.
Yeah.
Less what I like, because I don't think that I found what I like yet, but I definitely know what I don't like. So I'm going to try again eventually.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not ready for that kind of a project.
That's fair.
I'm kind of enjoying simple projects.
That's fair.
I have finished exactly one this year.
Hey.
Technically, it's not done yet because I never blocked it.
Doesn't matter. It still gets applause.
Yeah,
just like 90% of my projects these days.
I didn't block Dark Academia for a year.
I still haven't blocked the Celtic Myths shawl.
That's impressive.
I keep saying that I'm going to do it and then I don't.
Listen, that was early 2022.
Stuff like that takes so much time because you need space and towels and cat protectants. And
yeah,
you know?
I think I'm a little like warded off to wanting to block anything after the cats like ate a hole.
You need a designated
in that shawl.
Room.
Yeah.
Like you need a room. To
I don't really
things.
Have that right yeah. now.
That's fair.
A designated blocking
block
towel.
At my house.
I could.
My dogs don't jump up on tables.
I could.
I've done seamless and seam sweaters. I've done top and bottom. So top down, bottom up.
You did the bottom up?
I did.
Which one was that?
It was... did I frog that? I might have frogged that. No, it was like a black sweater and I don't... have it, and I don't know if I gave it to somebody, but I feel like it was actually one of the first sweaters I made, and I just didn't. I don't think I kept that. It's either frogged in the bellows of my whatever, but I definitely done seamed and unseamed or seamed and seamless, because there was a baby cardigan that I did that ended up being seamed, and I didn't realize that, but I was already too far in.
Now I'm committed.
Now, no going back now.
I don't. So it's funny. I knit very loosely, but I seam very tightly. So I found my seaming to make it difficult to wear, especially in the armpit. For the baby, it didn't matter. And he said it fit the baby just fine. But I'm sure she grew out of it very quickly because the armpit was very tight. So I don't know if I need to look at better techniques in seaming, especially the sleeves. That was like you had to like you did the back. There was two front panels, there was a collar, and then there was two sleeves, and it was all done separately. So it was fun. I liked a couple of things about that. I'll tell you pros and cons. So the pros were I got a lot of like feel-good feelings every time I finished a section. Because like
you get that high in stages.
So you finish a piece, and then you're like, yes, now I could do the next piece, you know?
It's almost like finishing multiple projects.
Yeah.
So, I like that.
The other good part I liked about it is when I would finish a piece, I could actually measure it and make sure that it looked like the, roughly the finished measurements. I could block them one at a time. Like it was easier to like determine if I made a gauge whoopsie way earlier than when I finished the whole sweater. The negative was the only negative for me was the seaming on the pits, because I really don't think I'd put those sleeves on right. I think they were just... I just didn't. I think I did it too tight. So I probably just need to learn a looser seam for armpits. I've done a few seamless sweaters. Oh my God, I can't get these words right. I've done a bunch of seamless sweaters. And I tend to do those only because they tend to be more popular nowadays anyway in patterns. I don't see a lot of seamed sweaters, patterns. I mean, I don't necessarily look for them, but even when I'm just like casually looking for patterns, I don't necessarily have to check off I only want seamless sweaters, because the majority that show up are seamless.
I hadn't thought about that, but you are right.
Yeah.
They pretty much are.
Yeah. Like I said, I downloaded that baby sweater one and I was like, oh, it seemed. Oh, shoot. Time to learn a new skill.
Too late now.
And I definitely did bottom up because I remember I actually preferred bottom up. And I'll tell you why. And it's because as much as with the top down, you can fit it as you go, I still think you can do that even with a bottom up. And I actually could like put it at my armpit and like determine if it was long enough torso wise, you know, before I got into the sleeves and stuff. The negatives, I think, for me with seamless is that I think you could make, believe it or not, a easier mistake with seamless when it comes to the yoke in the shoulders than seamed. And I'll tell you why. Because when I was doing the seamed baby sweater, I would do one piece, and so I did one sleeve, which included, I did a front panel and a back in the back. So if I had the front panels, I could compare one panel to the other, and if it was off, then I knew right away this was wrong, and I could fix it and adjust it, and I could actually take it from that one piece rather than taking apart the entire sweater.
That's fair.
With a seamless, sometimes you don't even realize that there's something janky going on with it until you put it on.
And then you're committed.
And then you're like, well. Yep.
The only thing to do is rip it all out. Yeah, that's fair.
We're just going to run this way with it.
That's fair.
But the benefits, as you mentioned, as you go, everybody else mentioned, with seamless being that it's kind of done as you go. So if you're someone that just wants to be done once, I think seamless makes more sense. But if you really like to get that, like, I finished something every so often, I think that seamed actually might be a good option for you. I also think if you're customizing, like the sizing, like say you the sizes are dumb and they only did like 3 and you need to obviously extend it for the rest of the world. and when you're trying to do it, it's actually, I find it easier to adjust the sizing with the seamed than the seamless.
Oh, I bet that would be easier if you're like between sizes too.
Yeah.
Like if you're a large in the arms, but a medium in the bust or something.
Yeah.
Not my problem, but.
No,
that is a huge problem with seamed sweaters is that they're really, especially with the arms, the shoulders, there's not a lot of, or seamless, not seamed, there's not a lot of wiggle room to customize when they're, when you split for the sleeves and everything, that's all already decided for you.
Yeah,
that's a really good point.
I feel like it would actually be beneficial for me to make a seamed sweater at some point because I have very large triceps and I tend to not fit in a lot of shirts that are my size, but they're not my arm size. So it would be beneficial for me to make those separately so that I could actually size them to my arms comfortably rather than praying and hoping that the yarn will stretch and cover my arm.
I will say there are some patterns I've noticed in some of the newer patterns that have like optional darts around the bust.
Yes.
So you
and I
can,
like that. Yeah.
Yeah, you can kind of adjust that a little bit better. So it doesn't change like where like say the yoke starts and ends and where the sleeves start and ends per se, but given the dart you can adjust it right under for that if you know if you're confident enough to try and figure out the measurement for that dart.
But the dart can also help with the hem at the bottom. So if you're heavy chested and you're making the sweater and you put no darts, it actually will rise a bit and it'll be like a high low on you. Yeah, if you put in those darts so that you can account for the chest, you'll actually get more of an even hem. So if I see that there's like a dart option, I'm like, ooh, I'm excited.
Doing that.
I haven't figured out how to like adjust a pattern to just have darts yet because I'm not there. But designers who are doing it, A plus, my friend.
Yeah,
A plus.
Yeah, like
applause for you. Because I'm heavy chested and darts are great and they make my hem nice and even.
Kind of going along with that, one of the things I definitely look for when I'm picking a sweater pattern, I'm not interested in a sweater pattern that has no short rows for the back of the neck.
Yeah.
I don't like that construction. It's definitely easier to do because you don't have to do that extra step. but it doesn't lie as nice.
You're choking without it.
Right. It doesn't give you that nice like back collar. So your collar basically just lies flat and it ends up coming up to the base of your neck.
If you don't know what we're talking about, go grab any t-shirt. Any feminine cut t-shirt, because they tend to have it.
So true.
Go to a feminine cut t-shirt and you will see, you lay it down and you'll like, if you pull it up so that the seams are at the top, you'll actually notice that the back is a little bit higher than the front. And then you're going to go, huh, why is that? It's so you don't choke.
But don't do that with a unisex t-shirt because they don't do it. And that's why I was laughing, because I thought that was what you were going to say.
I really don't understand.
It's really frustrating. Here's
the
thing.
No, it's frustrating, but I feel like unisex, I don't know why a lot of guys' stuff doesn't have that, because the way their muscles go, they too have a bit of that roundness on
the
back.
We all have it.
Like, so I don't understand.
But men, they want to choke. They're men. They're gruff and they don't need no considerations
it's
to make
really,
it comfortable.
Really frustrating. Well,
they don't need to breathe.
They don't it's need fine. To breathe.
Like, yeah, there
it is.
Men. Okay, it's obviously sarcasm. People, please don't DM me.
Oh, jeez. Don't at me.
Don't at me.
No, but it is, and it. I remember the first time I did make a top down sweater. I was like, why do I have to do this? This is stupid. I don't want to add like all these rows.
But it feels so nice.
Oh my God. It's night and day different. And I will say, I've also done bottom up and top down. My first sweater was accidentally a bottom up for my daughter. And just like you, I downloaded it. I got all the yarn. I sat down and was like, well, crap. Like I was all ready to cast on for the collar. And I'm like, oh no. I found, and maybe now, you know, 3 years later and 4 sweaters later, I might feel differently. But for my first sweater, I found that doing short rows bottom up was way harder than doing them top down. Yeah. I was like, first off, my brain just exploded when I was trying to follow the directions. German short rows are also really weird the first time you look at them too, because you're like, I can't believe you're actually telling me to do this.
I hate German short rows on the pearl side. Just throwing that out.
Yeah,
there.
I'm not a fan of those either.
Like the pearl side, I'm always like, wait.
But doing them top down was a lot easier to wrap my brain around than doing them bottom up. Bottom up, I was like, I hopefully this looks right. I don't know.
This is kind of a complete left field comment, but with German short rows, I find that the only way that I can get through the pearl side is that I do swing your German row round and round.
You literally have to swing it.
That is fair.
You have to like swing it over.
That's fair.
So it makes me remember, oh yeah, this sucks.
That's all I'm going to think about from now on when I do German short rows.
No, I'm telling you though, I'll be doing the German short row on the knit side. I'm like, okay, this is great.
Is fine.
I love this. On the pearl side, I'm like, can I do the wrap and twist? This is awful. I just want to know. This is terrible.
You're just swinging your German short row round.
And you may be tempted to just be like, I'm going to skip this and I'm just going to, don't do that.
Yeah,
don't do that unless you want an uncomfortable sweater that looks nothing like the picture.
No, the short rows definitely add just that bit of shaping that's so much more comfortable.
One we haven't talked about that I'm pretty sure everyone has done at this point is raglan style top down. I'm pretty sure everyone's done it.
Your seamless was not raglan.
It wasn't raglan? That was in the round?
Guys, I don't know what raglan means.
Yeah. Oh, no, yeah. It wasn't. No, I'm telling you.
Everyone's
not
like
raglan.
I'm like, oh, that's raglan. Excuse like, me. No, it's not.
Your
I'm
vest like, is, know. I'm pretty sure.
Is it?
Wasn't it?
It's
I don't know. It doesn't have sleeves.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's where basically you cast on like a cardigan.
It like goes
and
from
then,
your armpit to the top of your shoulder.
Yeah.
The
and you, yeah. And basically there are 2 spots where they're like, you do the stitches for the sleeve. Then there's a spot where you do increases on each side. You do the back, increases on each side, do the other sleeve.
Yeah, I did
oh,
that.
It did have
yeah,
that?
Yeah. I was going to say, I'm pretty sure that was the style. I hate that.
Me too.
And I have like literally, so I have cast on.
Wait, all that lead up was Meg saying,
I don't like it. Like, no, I don't know what it is. Because I've now cast on 2 different sweaters, 2 different tops in a raglan style. Three. And two of them are in bags, never to be seen again until I get the guts to yank them out. And this is the third in front of me that you can see I tore it out and started over again. I don't know what it is. There are so many good points to the raglan. Again, like you're shaping it as you go. You're creating like this, creating the sleeves as you go. And I imagine it would be easier to customize the size, especially of the shoulders, when you're doing the raglan style. That being said, I don't honestly have a good, we could just say it's straight prejudice against the raglan top because I don't have a good reason. I cannot concentrate on it. I'm not a fan.
Comments from Megan do not represent the part of my
Nobody else maybe is, no, Jess is too. Jess is too. Prejudice against the raglan top. But there really is no short rows on the raglan top. In most cases, I believe, because you're just building the increases into the back of the shirt as you go. So it's a very different experience.
I think the raglan hate comes from the fact.
Okay, I didn't say hate. Did I say hate?
Okay.
I dislike.
It's a very strong dislike.
A prejudice dislike
from the raglan top.
I think it honestly comes from the fact that there are a lot more points of failure. So like when you're doing seamless yoke and you're just going and going and just increasing and it has a consistency to it. I feel like a raglan is very easy to, did I do an increase after I did
that
the
is
yarn
very,
over?
Very,
I don't remember.
Fair.
And yes. Then you're counting and you're like, nope, I didn't do the increase. I got to go back. Or you're counting and you like get a different number every time on that part. And you're like, I don't know if I increased.
Yeah. No. And I mean, honestly, my other thing, and this is going to sound really stupid. So actually, no, I did complete one raglan sweater. Calliope is a raglan. Huh? It is. But the difference with Calliope is that you start in the round, you knit the collar, and then you do raglan increases after you do the collar. So if you look at the sweater, there's raglan sleeves underneath the round collar. And I didn't mind that as much. And
they were kind of hidden.
They are kind of hidden when you look at them. You don't realize it. But I will say, I really think, and try not to at me, I really do not enjoy purling as much as I enjoy knitting. When you are knitting the common, ordinary, run-of-the-mill raglan.
It's because you knit continental.
I knit English.
No, I said English or continental. That's why you don't like purling.
I don't like to purl. I've never liked to purl. So I think that might be it, is I don't like knitting back and forth. I really don't. There it is.
Well, I liked mine.
You did. And that's fair. Like, that's the thing. There's no wrong. Like, I don't think that necessarily is wrong.
No, it's just the response. Well, I liked it.
But it is, it's, I don't know. And I think maybe it might be psychological. Knitting in the round feels faster to me. I also don't love the idea of picking up for the collar. I'm not a fan.
No, that's fine.
I'm not
that's
a fan fair. Of that. Yeah, like, that
I don't like picking up in general because
I don't like
feel
picking
like
things up either. Oh God, picking up for the armpit.
No, I didn't mean picking up off the ground, which is also terrible. But like picking up.
Oh no,
I thought you were like, you mean picking up stuff off the ground?
No, I was saying picking up the armpit.
I was like, yes, Meg. I also don't like bending over.
Wait, I didn't say that.
That's how my brain computed. Like, and I went, Meg, I also agree that that's terrible, but I'm talking about the.
I was too.
Oh my God.
No, I don't like picking up the underarm stitches. I don't like.
There's like a certain way you have to do it.
You do. You got it. It's very finicky.
I love picking up stitches. I love doing it.
That's like, so weird.
Picking up the gusset stitches.
Oh,
for socks,
no. Oh, man, no.
That was my jam, especially when you turn the sock inside out and you get that really nice, like, line of. Oh,
Oh, so with
that is so good.
With socks, wow. I didn't mind going up one side, like going up the first side and then knitting across. But for whatever reason, going down the other side, I always ended up picking up the wrong number of gusset stitches. And I'm like, all right, whatever. Like, we'll work this one out as we go. I don't knit socks anymore for
mine
a reason.
Depends on the project. See, like, I don't normally like picking up the armpit as well, mainly because there's no real good way to pick it up where it's like
foolproof.
Yeah, well, where you're not, honestly, the best way to do it is to kind of pick up two stitches next to each other and knit them together as one, and you get a tighter armpit. But then you have to do it twice in the same way for it to be even, and it, you know, there's a risk. So I don't like that. But I've done a lot of shawls where it's like you started off like knitting up, and then you pick up the side for the border, and that's always kind of fun.
Oh God, no, I love that. Like, I love that cast fun. On.
I'm doing that right now.
That's like, the tab cast on. I love that.
Like that's fun. That's like, oh, okay. Like this is interesting.
Oh yeah. The gusset looks like this on the inside.
Like, I love right how here? Excited you just got.
Yeah, I'm no. Hey. So when it's like stuff like that, I'm like, yeah, because if you do it right, it does. It's like chef's kiss. You're
so
like, oh,
satisfying.
Look at that. That's nice. But yeah, no, when you're doing the armpit or like sometimes the top of the sleeve, just because of the way it's done. And it's like, there's no good way to pick this up without making a seam, which is supposed to be there, but I don't like it. And that's annoying.
If you don't relate to any of this commentary about weird things we like, you haven't been knitting or crocheting long enough. trust me, once you get to a certain point.
One day you'll be like, oh.
You'll be like, oh my God, ribbing.
Okay, I look at it the same way as becoming an adult and being real excited about that new vacuum cleaner you just bought.
Listen. Mm. Or the new set of pots and pans.
Yeah. I just got a mattress vacuum and it has changed my life.
Yeah, it's adulting.
Yeah, we just got like a couch vacuum that we have to try.
It has a UV ray on it.
Of course it
like,
does.
No, but like I use it on my mattress, but I also use it on the dog beds and it works. Oh, it cleans up those beds so good.
Oh, I'm telling you. But that's that. No, and I think there is something to be said too for like, I don't know. Like a couple of years ago, I was very much like everything that I do, I want to learn a technique and I want to have all these things in my arsenal. And I understand how to make a raglan sweater. I have found I don't enjoy it. And I think that knowing what you like and doing what you like is more important than arbitrarily checking off things on a list to say, I've done this, I'm good at this. I think it is fair to try something.
Yeah.
I think it's fair to try something and say, this isn't my cup of tea. I'm going to do it a different way. This is supposed to be fun.
Where's the fun in like doing like, oh, well, I have to do a sweater because, you know, when I do a sweater, that makes me a knitter. You know what I mean? Like it goes back into that kind of mentality.
Right. And I think it's fair to say, like, I would love to try this. And who knows? You may love it. You may try it and love it. But I think it is also fair to be like, I don't think not finishing a certain type of project makes you any less skilled or any less of a knitter or any of that. Like, I think it's fair to say, you know what? Like, I've tried it.
I don't like
it. It's not my thing. Yeah. I mean, I used to knit socks all the time. I don't enjoy it. I'm not going to knit socks just to be like, well, I'm not a complete knitter unless I'm turning out a pair of socks every year. Like, that's silly.
Guys, I think my next project is going to be socks.
You haven't done socks in so long, right? Man.
Yeah,
like,
I
you really
know.
Should.
And now I'm thinking about those gussets.
Guys, I need another
color. It's really getting me right now.
They're pour on the burn there.
I feel like I go through 7 stages of grief with shawls. Like I get like, yeah, this will be fine. This will go quick. This will be fine. Oh no, I'm in the middle and this will never end. And then I get like close to the end. Then I'm like, ooh, I'm almost done. I swear to God.
And then you get to the border and you're like, wow, this is literally like picking up toothpicks with the.
And then you get to the euphoria of finishing.
Yeah, you block it and it's sitting there. And then like you get like, you know how they talk about like when you give birth, you get amnesia and then you want another child. Yeah, it's just like that. I get amnesia and suddenly I want another shawl.
Yeah.
For all the shawls you wear.
I do. No, I've made a lot.
It's just about creating art at this time. I know. It's just about the art.
It's just a weird process.
I thought the same thing because I don't wear a lot of my stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why am I doing this? And I'm like, for the sheer creation of it. Like, I may never wear these things. It's okay.
See, I make a lot of shawls, but I wear them at work.
Yeah. I actually am thinking about wearing shawls to work this year, and I'm waiting for the reaction. That best can be great. They're going to call me like Baba Yaga or something like that.
Yes.
Well, you work with teenagers.
I do.
Meanwhile, I work with lawyers, and they all go, oh, that's so nice.
Right. See, there's the trade-off.
And that's all the time we have for this episode. For additional content and opportunities to connect with the cast, be sure to check out our website at pardonmystash.com. And remember to tune in next time for more tips, nits, and wits at Pardon My Stash.